love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Hey! And your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Hey! And your love. Your love, your love, and your love, and your love, your love. Because on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. Come on. And on and on and on and on. How many believe God's love goes on? It goes on and on and on and on. Your love goes on and on. Your love goes on and on. Your love goes on and on. And your love never fails. It never gives. It never runs out on me. Wherever you are, you can sing along. Your love never fails. Or you could type along. It never runs out on me. If you believe God's love never fails. Your love never fails. It never gives. It never runs out on me. Oh, your love never fails. It never gives. It never runs out on me. Come on, somebody. It's your love. Your love. Your love. Come on. It's your love. If you believe in God's love. Your love. Your love. Your love. Your love, come on, God's love. Your love, your love, your love, and your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, the love, yeah, your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, and your love, God's love, your love, your love, your love, your love, and your love, your love, your love, 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 your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, never fails, your love. God's love. Your love never fails. Come on. Your love. And your love, your love, and your love. Come on, your love, and your love, 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 your love. Oh, your love, your love, your love, your love, your love, oh God, your love. Your love, your love, your love will never fail me. Your love, your love, your love. Come on, somebody, wherever you are, just sing. Your love, your love, your love will never fail me. Stay right there. Your love, your love, your love will never fail me. Hey, hey, hey. Your love, your love, your love, oh God, will never fail me. Hey, your love, your love, your love will never fail me. Yeah. And your love, your love, your love will never leave me nor forsake me. And your love, your love, your love will never fail me. And your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Come on, somebody, let's go right there. Your love, your love, your love. Your love, your love, your love. Hey! Your love, your love, your love. Just sing this part wherever you are. If you believe in God's love. Your love, your love, your love. Your love, your love, your love. Your love. See, even when we turn away from God, he still loves us. Even when we do things to hurt him, he still loves us. I can't imagine God's love. It's beyond my imagination. Beyond what I could ever ask or think or imagine. Because his love is so amazing. His love is strong. His love is great. Oh, your love, your love, your love. And your love never fails. It never gives up. Never runs out on me. You see, men would give up on us. Even our parents give up on us. Our family give up on us. Our best friends, we claim, give up on us sometimes. But God's love, your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. Come on, somebody bless him this morning for his love. Hey, bless him for his love. Hey! Hey, we bless you, oh God. We give you praise because indeed you are God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your grace. Most high, most elevated, most eloquent, excellent, amazing, most high God. We thank you, Jesus, this morning because indeed you are God and God alone. And there is none like you, none before you, none after you, for you alone are God. None like you. There is none like you. There is none like you. Oh. Oh. We bless you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. Hey. We bless your name, oh God. Come on, somebody bless him wherever you are. Worship him wherever you are. Lift him up. Because the Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Come on, somebody bless him wherever you are. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw. Oh, man. So, God, we bless you this morning. We bless you this morning. Stay tuned for Minister Andrea. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Because he is yet drawing us to him. He hasn't forgotten about us. Somehow, some way, praise be to God, we were able to get through this year. I thought it would be befitting as we go into Christmas to just have a greeting, a holiday greeting from our church mother. She is truly a blessing to our hearts, and she is such an encouragement, and many of you may not have gotten a chance to meet her in person as of yet. You've seen her on Bible study, and you've seen her on our worship services, but I thought it would be befitting to have her greet us this morning. So she's going to greet us this morning, and then we're going to go to Elder Michael Spivey, who is going to bless us with the word. Good morning, Mother.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Zoe, for that music. I'd like to say happy Merry Christmas to everyone on behalf of our Pastor Chris and Elder Mike and the entire Citadel family. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. We love you all. We're so glad that you have worshiped with us during this year. And we look forward to seeing you in the coming year. Again, God bless you and be safe and just look to God for all that you need. I will turn it over now to Elder Mike.
Amen, amen. Let the church say amen, 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 and amen again. I greet you in the joy of Jesus this morning, in the joy of this season. It is so wonderful to have our church mother bless us and welcome us. For some of you that don't know her, I can assure you that she is truly our church mother, and even a substitute mother for some of us who've lost our moms. So we thank God and we bless God for her presence this morning. Everybody thinks God is not with us during this coronavirus pandemic. I can understand why people would question that God is not here. But I came to tell you this morning that he is always there. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to minister on this virtual platform. We ask you to cover everyone attached to this ministry, this safe place, this strong fortress of the citadel. Now, Father, bless us as we go forward with the word. We pray that someone is touched and gets a clearer understanding on who you are in this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to turn to your Bibles, to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter, the 8th through the 10th verses, the book of Job. Job 23, 8 through 10. And I'm reading through the Eugene Peterson's message version. And our scripture for today is this: I travel east looking for him. I find no one. Then west, but not a trace. I go north, but he's hidden his tracks. Then south, but not even a glimpse. But he knows where I am and what I've done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I'll pass the test with honor as I follow him closely, my feet in his footprints, not once swerving from his way. I've obeyed every word he's spoken and not just obeyed his advice. I've treasured it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word. As I stated, our sermon subject for this morning is, he is always there. Now, you know as well as I know, during these last 10 months of this coronavirus pandemic, there are quite a few people that are worried that God isn't here. They're wondering why God hasn't stepped into this situation. They're wondering why so many people have lost their lives. They're questioning whether there is a God. Have you ever experienced an unexplained event happen in your life that blessed you? I'm talking about one of those occasions where a blessing came your way without any effort on your part. It just came right when you needed it. And all you could say was, thank you, Jesus. There are some things and some who have unexplained reversals of medical conditions. The doctor said one thing, but later, when all hope was gone, the condition reversed. It left the doctor scratching their heads. You were not in line to receive the opportunity that you did, but somehow an opportunity manifested that you never thought would happen. Suddenly, it appeared out of nowhere. You were involved in an accident that should have been fatal, but you survived with only scratches and bruises or no scratches at all. How do these things happen? And I'll tell you how. You had an experience with the God of turnaround. When we touch the supernatural realm, it changes the way we see things, the way we speak, and how we go about life. A supernatural turnaround is a divine encounter where God reverses our circumstances, turns the negative into a positive, shifts our thoughts in life towards a new direction. The footprint of God is so big that when he steps in, everything else has to move. I'm telling somebody here this morning virtually that when God moves into our world, he steps between us and the particular situation that we're facing. God will fight our battles. Otherwise, if we are not in the realm of the supernatural, we tend to fight our own battles. I'm here this morning to tell you that God has got your battles. The battle is not yours. He's coming in between the situation you're dealing with. And not only that, he's coming in the midst of it suddenly. Somebody type suddenly in all caps. The thing about suddenly is that you can't get ready for suddenly. There's nothing you can do to make suddenly happen. It just happens. This is why there are times when God puts together something that you could have never put together on your own, because God has the ability to interrupt our circumstances. Divine interruption, family, or divine intervention prepares us for divine provision. See, what we need to understand is that the thing we hold on to is not as good as what we're going to get. God interrupts our lives for a reason, his reason. God is working in the background of our lives to ensure that we accomplish our life's purpose. And for those who doubt that, I came to tell you this morning, he's always there. Somebody type in, he's always there.
He's always there.
See, those of us who have told God that we're going to follow his will to establish his kingdom have been given assurance that he is working to open doors that are shut and to create doorways that don't even exist to help us achieve our divinely inspired purposes. Oftentimes, we do not see God operating, but he is there behind us, in front of us, on our left hand, on our right hand. God's unseen hands guide and control, tear down and build up. These unseen hands are called God's divine providence, the will of God, working itself out among men and women. It is God seeing to everything, absolutely everything that needs to be done to bring about his purposes for our lives. God sees to it that it happens, that it comes to fruition. Isaiah 46 and 10 states, if I declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. In other words, I will see to it, provide. I will provide, I will see to it that everything works together for the goals that I have for the world. See, God's knowledge of the future includes not only everything that actually happens, but also everything that could potentially happen. Now listen, we of the faith know the power of God is working every day, even though we cannot see his hand directly. His presence is felt, hallelujah. Even in our sickness and times of trial, those of us who are faithful to God know that he is still operating behind the scenes, even in the midst of this pandemic. That's why we believers never lose hope. Just ask Mother Prairie, even when difficulties come, we know that God is working that unfortunate circumstance in a way that will accomplish his purpose for our lives. That's a good thing, huh? That's also why the faithful are rarely among those who commit suicide or suffer long periods of depression or resort to alcohol or drug abuse when things go wrong. We endure the moment knowing, operating in faith, that God is working in the situation and we will come forth as pure gold. Now, let me be clear about the last thing I just said. I'm not saying we are immune to these trials. What I am saying is, even if you find yourself in the pit of depression, if you feel unloved, if you struggle with an addiction or a mental challenge, I'm telling you that you can get through it, because no matter what station of life you're in, no matter what season you seem to be stuck in, God is working something out even in the midst of that season in your life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. As believers, we are assured that God will be there for us in any situation. He will tell us what to do and what not to do. He will open doors and shut them. He will make things happen or stop them from happening, but always to our advantage, whether we realize it or not. We won't see him when it's done, but we will know after it's done that it was God that made it happen. Somebody needs a witness out there to that. As we look at our text this morning, it focuses on Job's response to the unfortunate circumstances in his life. Y'all all know about Job. Job is expressing his faith that his situation would be reversed and he would come through as pure gold if he could just find God, have an audience with him. Job is going through something he is admitting to here that he could not seem to get through to God. He wanted an audience with God. He wanted to plead his case with God. Yet, he clung to the confidence that God was still over the multiple crises that had befallen his life and that God knew he was living right. Job seemed at this fleeting instant to understand what he could and should do in his present crisis. We know that Job was a righteous man who faithfully subscribed to the Mosaic law and lived by its principles every day. The Bible describes Job as a righteous man who never once broke God's law, but fell on hard times because of his obedience and faithfulness. His faithfulness was tested by God to show the enemy that regardless of what difficulty came his way, he would not forsake his faith and remain obedient to God. So the enemy caused numerous difficulties in Job's life. The loss of his health, the loss of his wealth, the near destruction of his entire family. Despite this growing number of frustrating and crippling circumstances, Job hung on to his faith and maintained his integrity. He would not abandon his faith or drop to the level of cursing God as his wife suggested. He wouldn't question God's goodness. Now in this text, Job had told the three friends who sat with him, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, that he's looked left, he's looked right, high, he looked low, and he cannot see God's hand in his situation. But he knew God was aware of his situation and probably involved in it somehow. He said, he knows the way I take, or he knows I'm a good person. But when he finishes testing me, he'll find that I will come through as pure as gold. Job's assurance that God is aware of his faith and lifestyle and commitment to the service of the Lord underscored the reason he felt assured that God would turn his situation around. Is there anybody here this morning that's been in a situation that God turned it around, even though you didn't know he was there? You see, the thing I love about this story is that God knew where Job was at, in the fiery furnace of life, so to speak. But it was a furnace of God's appointment, not because of Job's sin. God would use Job's affliction to purify him and make him a better man. Is there anybody here this morning that's been through the fire and got out? The Bible often uses images of a furnace to describe God's purifying ministry through suffering. When God puts his own people into the furnace, he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He knows how long and how much. We may question why he does it to begin with, or why he doesn't turn down the heat, or even turn it off. But our questions are only evidences of unbelief. The answer is in this verse. Gold does not fear the fire. The furnace can only make the gold purer and brighter. And it's important to note that Job's life was pleasing to God before he went into the furnace. He said in the 11th and 12th verses in Job 23, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He did it, but we didn't see him do it. And we know he did it. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody out here that knows that God is able to walk you through a fiery furnace? There are many ways that God has moved on our behalf before, and he will do it again. During this pandemic, you can say what you want to say. But you know what? If you're here listening this morning, you know that he has provided for us. We did not see him do it, but we know it was God that provided for our necessities in this past year, especially during this pandemic. Though we may have complained about some things, about wearing masks, social distancing, staying in the house, most of us would have to agree that God has been real good to us. Even when God held back things that were seeking to destroy us, He kept providing for our necessities and making a way out of no way. Even in our low moments, it turned out that God was working, putting people and resources in our lives to help us respond to our problems. We don't know how we stumbled upon the person who helped us get those Lysol wipes that are so popular. But we know it was God behind it. It wasn't by chance that you met somebody that responded to your need several months ago for toilet paper and paper towels when there was none on the shelves in the store or online. It wasn't by chance that the opportunity that you needed to keep from drowning in your troubles happened just as you needed it. He threw out the lifeline that kept you afloat. It was his unseen hand at the other end that did it. You look to the left, you look to the right. You didn't see him, but no matter what the circumstance was, provisions were available to each and every one of us. You know he was right there, working it out to your advantage. We looked to the left and the right and we didn't see him, but we knew it was God. He opened the doors that had once been shut in our faces. Hallelujah. Not only has God opened doors for us, he's held them open long enough for us to get through and then close them to keep our enemies from following. Have I got a witness about that? This is what he did for Israel crossing the Red Sea. He held back the waters long enough for them to get through, then close it on those who were trying to destroy them. God has faithfully opened doors for us and given us opportunities for this abundant life. Now, when you look back over the few years, the last few years, some of us have done more than just survive. We have grown spiritually and thrived. God has blessed us financially, and he's blessed our families. He's blessed our friends. He's blessed our employers. He's blessed our employees. Some have expanded their boundaries last year by taking advantage of every opportunity that God made available to them. He has straightened us. He has strengthened us. And when our spiritual strength was at its lowest level, God lifted us. We didn't see him, but we knew he was in there somewhere, working things, talking to us directly in our prayer-filled Friday evenings. And through his word, when we hear an intelligent, smart young person like Janiah read the scripture during Kingdom Kids service, when Faith leads worship like she's been doing it all her life. We heard his voice in a sermon that Pastor Chris preached. We heard it when we heard a word of encouragement from Elder Andrea. The scriptures we chose to read after hearing Mama Kia pray. The worship songs led by Maestro Zoe. That beautiful laugh from Sister Sojourner, even though she's recovering from back surgery. That uplifting text I get from Elder Keith, or the countless all over Deaconess Marcia's face every time we see her on Zoom service. That crazy vegan recipe that Sister Aja posts on Facebook. We didn't see God, but I assure you he's always there. In the months after the death of a loved one, when all seems lost without that loved one, we know he's there, lifting us out of our depression and giving us a new purpose and strength. We didn't see God when we suffered a setback and lost ground on our journey, when we got passed over for that promotion on the job. But we know he was there because he kept sending us so many messages to get up and try again. And suddenly we got promoted. What did Isaiah say? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. What did David say? I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, because my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll be there in the days ahead. So I have a question for you. Why does it seem believers often undergo prolonged and difficult suffering? As Pastor Chris would say, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible offers several answers. First of all, testing strengthens our character. James said in the first chapter of James, verses 2 and 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Painful situations produce character, the same way that regular exercise builds muscle tone. When Pastor Chris and I moved into this apartment, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my gosh, there's too many stairs in here for me. And for the first couple of weeks, my legs were killing me. But as time went on, I built up endurance and strength in my legs to go up and down the stairs. Even when Pastor Chris wants one of those watermelon lollipops or whatever those things she sends me down for. Peter adds that testing proves our faith is genuine. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 8 states, which is why we should rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When the heat is on, family, who we actually are and what we truly believe are revealed. Remaining faithful despite prolonged tests and trials testifies to others how much we value and honor God. Job noted that testing can get rid of unrefined qualities in our lives when we go through the fire. Much the way a blast furnace brings out impurities and metals, testing removes sinful attitudes in us, and we come forth as gold. Hebrews 12, 6 through 8 says that testing proves believers are God's children. Ask Mother Perrier or Sister Marcia, every wise parent disciplines a child in love to help the child develop. So when God brings testing, is it not a reminder that we are his children? I can tell you, I've been through the fire. And here I am sitting here today. So why did testing come to Job? Job never realized, somebody catch this, that God allowed it because he was pleased with him. In the first chapter of Job, verse 8, God said to the enemy, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. There may be no reason that we believe makes sense behind our testing other than the fact that God is pleased with us. He may want to reveal himself to us in a different way, a better way. We must remember that even though sometimes we do not see God move on our behalf, we certainly feel his actions and are aware of the result. Whatever we might expect to face in the future, we should be encouraged to know that God is already in front of us, looking out for our future. What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I may not know what tomorrow will bring, but I know what God has done in the past, and I know what God is doing right now. I also know that he's already ahead of me, making a way for me." That's why I'm so glad that Jesus is the breaker who goes before us. The Lord says in Isaiah 45:2, "I will go before thee and make crooked places straight." I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but you need to know that God has the ability to break through any spiritual roadblock that may hinder his kingdom and his purposes for you in this age. It doesn't matter what the future brings. As long as we're on the Lord's side, there will never be a cross that won't be able to bear. a mountain that we won't be able to climb, an enemy that we won't be able to defeat, a battle that we won't be able to win. There will be no night so dark that we won't be able to see the light. There will be no trial that we can't make it through, no test that we won't be able to pass with flying colors. The story is told of a sculptor whose statue of a horse fascinated and caught the attention of everyone. And one day he was asked, how did you take such an ugly, unpretentious piece of stone and make such a beautiful horse? His answer was simple. I simply chipped away everything that didn't look like a horse. That is what God is doing in your life and mine. Through the loss of a job, the death of a loved one, the abandonment of a spouse, the betrayal of a friend, a life-changing addiction. Through it all, God is at work in our lives, chipping away anything and everything that doesn't look like Jesus. I have learned this in my life, that God was powerful enough to bring you to something. He is also powerful enough to bring you through something. If God was powerful enough to help you descend into the valley, is he not powerful enough to help you ascend the mountain? Another story, there was a painter who saw a beggar whose clothes were tattered, hair unkempt, face dirty, homeless. The artist decided to paint the man as he might have looked as a successful business person with a wonderful family. When it was finished, the beggar was invited to come see the painting, and the beggar didn't recognize himself. He asked the painter, is that me? The painter said, that's what I see in you. For the first time in years, the beggar was given hope, and he said, by God's grace, I'm going to be the kind of man you see me to be. That's what we model here at the Safe Place, here at the Fortress, the Citadel Church, the Citadel of Hope Worship Center, where God's love permeates from Pastor Chris all the way down to Audrey, Jordan, Yanni, Zari, Gianni, everyone. At the moment, the very moment we put our trust in him, God takes our raw material and begins to shape it into the life that he sees today and what will be one day when he completes his work in us. When the final whistle blows, the game of life will be over, and believe it or not, we'll be ready to ascend to the heavenlies and enjoy eternal life with our Father. Think about this. The same God who stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere onto the platform of nothing and spoke a world into existence is the same God at work in your life. The same God who caused waters to part and clear a path to cross for the Israelites is the same God who's at work in your life right now. The same God who sustained 4 million Israelites on manna and water for 40 years so that none of them died of starvation is the same God who is at work in your life. The same God who delivered 3 teenagers from their own personal barbecue with a fire so hot that it destroyed the ones who threw them in, but delivered them so not even a hair on their head was singed, is the same God who is at work in your life. The same God who opened the eyes of the blind, the same God who unstopped the ears of the deaf, the same God who cleansed the disease of the unclean, the same God who crashed and spoiled funerals of the dead and resurrected the dead body of Christ is the same God who is at work in your life. This same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same God who is Alpha, Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The same God who was dead yet liveth and is alive forevermore and holds the keys of hell and death is the same God who's at work in your life today. And even if you don't think he's hid there, I'm telling you, I'm a witness, he's always there. Thanks be to God, I'm not what I used to be. And although I know that I'm not what I should be yet, I also know praise God, that I'm not what I'm going to be, because the same God is still working on me. He's always there. I am confident of this very thing, that he, the same God who has begun a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God bless you. May heaven smile on you. Remember one thing, even if you don't see him, he's always there. Amen. Amen.
Truly, he is the same God. Thank you so, so much, Reverend Spivey, for reminding us of that this morning, that we would not quit thinking that God is not hearing us, but we can continue in faith and knowing that he is the same God. If he did it before, he will absolutely do it again. We thank God for the word this morning, and I just want to remind you of what Reverend Spivey shared with us this morning. His subject for this morning's message was he is always there. And the scripture was Job 23, verses 8 through 10. So again, he is always there, Job 23, 8 through 10. And as we always remind you, make sure that you take this word further. Don't just leave it on Sunday morning, amen? So live it out this week, read the scripture, and let God remind you that he's always there. He'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. I wanna share some announcements with you, and they're pretty important, so please don't drop. I promise it'll only be a couple minutes. I just want to make sure that you have all the announcements and changes that are taking place over the next few weeks. Giving. Giving is essential. If you have not started your giving in this year, don't leave 2020 without sowing a seed. When I was growing up, they would always say the way that you end the year is the way that your next year will be. And so if you want the blessings of God that come from seed harvest, meaning the seeds that you sow, whether it be financial, physical, spiritual, make sure that your seeds are in good ground and make sure that they are active. And so I want to remind you, you can give in three ways as of right now. You can give on our Cash App. It's $CHWC Bloomfield. You can give on our PayPal, which is paypal.me/thecitadel. Those are very easy ways to give. And we are moving our giving to the Tithely platform. And as of right now, you can give in our text to give option, and you would just text the number 833-921-2994. Again, that's 833-921-2994. All you have to do is text the word give to that number. You're going to get a pop-up, and that pop-up will give you some instructions. Once you set it up, it's always set up for you. It's very easy to do so. Here's a screenshot of what you will get when you text that number. And so you text the word give, and then you're going to get a response that says something like, hi there, click here. And that click here is just allowing you to set up your account. And it's so easy to do so. This platform is also going to be in our app, and it's going to be on our website. So if you don't want to do the text to give, you can continue to use Cash App and PayPal for now. And then once our app and new website are live, you can give that way as well. It's same platform, just three different ways to do it. And it is very easy to do so. So again, make your donations to the Citadel. I promise you that all of your donation goes to ministry work. And I promise you, I'm a giver. I am a tither. And I don't say that braggingly, but I say it as just encouragement to know that, yes, hard times do come. But giving of your tithe and offering, Pastor taught us this week through the book of Malachi. And she taught us that it definitely starts with your heart. Amen. So God sees that. So don't just tithe because I said tithe. Tithe because, you know, you believe that it is the right thing to do and you want to be in line with your faith. So don't end this year without giving. If you haven't started, today is a brand new day. I want to encourage you to start today. Moving on to the next announcement. No midweek service this week. So